verse of Scripture would like us to consider this morning. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him, that is unto Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses, the servant of the Lord, had been attending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, we're told, in the backside of the desert, when suddenly he saw a tremendous sight, a bush there in the midst of the desert, was suddenly a flame of fire. And yet that bush, engulfed in fire, was not consumed. And when Moses turned aside and began to approach that bush, he was told by the voice that came out of that bush, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Now when we look at and consider the burning bush, we have here before us a wonderful type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. For as we look at the bush ourselves today, we do indeed see Christ as the head of the church and the church itself. Whenever we consider this bush growing there in the backside of the desert in a barren, dry wilderness, we're reminded of the words of Isaiah 53 and verse 2, when speaking about the Lord Jesus, the prophet there said, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." That bush was indeed as a root growing up in the dry ground. This would speak to us of His humanity. But not only do we see Christ's humanity here, and indeed His humility, being likened on to a root growing up out of a dry ground, we see His humanity and His humility. But we see also here His deity, because we are told in verse 4, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called on to him out of the midst of the bush." And so the bush speaks to us of Christ's humanity and humility. But lo and behold, the voice that was heard in the bush was the voice of God. And so there we have the humanity and the deity of Christ speaking to us of the dual nature of Christ, because He is not only man, but He is also God. He's God manifest in the flesh. Something else. Whenever Moses turned aside and looked at the bush, lo and behold, it was a flame of fire. Now, fire in the Bible speaks to us of judgment. And the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross on Calvary found himself engulfed in the flames of God's judgment. Because there at that place called Calvary, when the Lord Jesus was nailed to that tree, the fire of God descended. The fire of God descended upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice that the fire fell, or the bush was consumed by the fire. The fire was in the bush itself, but the bush was not consumed. Wednesday night, when we had our brother Bill Jones with us, in the course of his message, he reminded us of that. That whenever Solomon offered up the offerings and the sacrifices in the temple at the time of the dedication of the temple, the fire of God descended. The fire of God consumed the animal sacrifices there offered on the altar. But when the fire fell at Calvary, it was the sacrifice that consumed the fire. Jesus Christ consumed the fire of God's holy wrath and anger. And there at Calvary, it wasn't the sacrifice that was consumed by the fire. It was the sacrifice that consumed the fire. And here we have a wonderful picture of it in Exodus 3. The fire burns, but the bush, picturing for us Christ, was not consumed. We said here that this bush is a picture of Christ and his church. We want to consider this morning this bush as a picture of the church with Christ in her midst. We notice first of all the appearance of this burning bush. Where did this bush that burned appear? Where did it appear unto Moses, the one who was chosen to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and indeed to the edge of the land of promise? We see, first of all, the place. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back side of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. So this bush was found by Moses in the backside of the desert. And that's exactly where God has placed his church. Because this world might be described as the backside of the desert. It is most certainly a barren wilderness. There's nothing here for the child of God in this world. It's a wilderness. But lo and behold, Moses comes to this bush, and first of all, it's a living bush. It's not an old, dead, dried up bush. The bush is living. It's a living organ, and it's growing there in the backside of the desert. And lo and behold, the church is a living organ. And the church is growing in the backside of the desert. The church of Jesus Christ is still growing in this barren wilderness. The church is alive today. In spite of all the opposition that the church faces today, in spite of the enemies that have arisen, and their agenda seems to be to extinguish the light and the life of the church. But bless the Lord, the church is alive and growing. And God, as He sustained the life of that bush in the backside of the desert, He sustains the life of the church. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah. Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27. And here we have the Lord speaking about the church, His vineyard. And look at verse 3. The Lord says in Isaiah 27, verse 3, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. That's what the Lord does with His church. He waters it. He keeps it, and He says, I will keep it night and day. We have a few plants in our home. And I was just saying to my wife the other day, you know, the secret of growing plants in the house is that they're watered and well watered on a regular basis. That's really the secret, keeping them well watered. Sometimes in the past we have forgotten to water them, and the leaves begin to fall off, and you say, I wonder what's wrong with the plant. It's all drying up. It's because it hasn't been watered on a regular basis. The Lord does that with His church. He waters the church. It's never neglected the way we may neglect our plants. The Lord never neglects His church. We're told here that He waters it, He watches over it, He cares for it night and day. Just as He sustained the life of that bush in the backside of the desert, so the Lord sustains the life of His church here in this wilderness. So we not only have and see here that it is a living bush, but we notice also the location of the bush. Yes, we're told that it is in the backside of the desert. That's where Moses came face to face with this bush. But look again at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So there we have the location of the bush. It's there in the backside of the desert, but it is near to Mount Horeb, called here the Mountain of God. Now Horeb is the name given to the mountain range, to a range of mountains called Mount Horeb. And in that mountain range is Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, of course, is the place where Moses ascended. And upon Mount Sinai, Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights with God, in the presence of God. You know, the church is to evangelize this world. Now, but the Lord said, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the church must never stray far from Mount Horeb, must never stray far from the place of fellowship and the place where we ascend the mount and meet with God. In other words, the church is to be a praying church. It is to be a church that meets with God on a regular basis. It's there that the church receives her strength. It was in the same place. 1 Kings chapter 19. that God met with Elijah. Do you remember Elijah after he slew the false prophets of Baal and enjoyed that great victory that the Lord gave to him? Jezebel heard what Elijah had done to her prophet, and she threatened his life, and she said, "I'll take his head off." And lo and behold, Elijah took to his heels and ran. And he went into Mount Horeb. There he sat down and wished he was dead. But it was there that God met with Elijah. He said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And God met with Elijah and fed Elijah and refreshed Elijah and strengthened Elijah. Where did it take place? Mount Horeb. It was there that Elijah, the servant of God, regained the strength and was refreshed. And dear child of God, it's as it were in Mount Horeb, the church is refreshed and given strength to go on and to face the enemies of God and to do a work for God. Because after meeting with the Lord in the mount, Elijah was again ready to do a work for God. And sometimes we faint, and sometimes we are weak, but in those times we need to get to the mount of God. The church must never stray far from the mount of God. And so we have the place. Then we have the person. We're told in verse 2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now we notice first of all what this person was called. We are given the identity of this person. We're told in verse 2 again, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses." The angel of the Lord. Throughout the Old Testament, you will come across the angel of the Lord. That title is mentioned a number of times in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord, even the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared unto Moses that day in a flame of fire. He appeared unto Moses in his Shekinah glory. God manifested himself and revealed his glory. He revealed himself in his Shekinah glory. Deuteronomy 33, verse 16, Moses there is speaking about that great event, the day that he met the Lord in the backside of the desert at that burning bush. Verse 16 of Deuteronomy 33, we have these words, "For the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush." The word "dwelt" is the Hebrew word shekan, from which we get the word Shekinah. And so the glory of the Lord Jesus was seen that day by Moses in the midst of the bush on the backside of the desert. Dear child of God, the glory of the Son of God, the angel of the Lord, must be seen in his church today. Whenever a church falls into apostasy, whenever a church leaves the truth, turns its back on God's word, and in so doing turns its back upon God, you can write Ichabod over that church. What does Ichabod mean? It means the glory has departed. May this church never turn its back on the truth. Because the day it turns its back on the truth is the day that you can write Ichabod over Port Hope Free Presbyterian Church. The glory will have departed. And we see here in what Moses saw, the glory of the Lord must be seen in his church. You remember what Moses prayed. One day he prayed, "Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And Moses saw the glory of the Lord that day in the backside of the desert. But may that be our prayer, always our prayer. Lord, when we go up to the house of God, may we see thy glory. We don't want to see the glory of man. We want the glory of the Master. We want to see Jesus. Something else there. Look at verse 2. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush." Verse 4, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush." And so here again we have emphasis placed upon the deity of the Lord Jesus. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Moses. And who was it who spoke? God. The angel of the Lord is God. Jesus Christ is God. Many churches today deny that. Many churches today don't believe that. The men and pulpits who don't believe that. Jesus Christ is God. And at this time of the year, when we're speaking about and thinking about the birth of Christ, the ministers who will tell us that this babe in Bethlehem's manger, nothing more than a good no emphasis placed upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the Word manifest in flesh, that He's God incarnate. Dear child of God, may this church always preach that and always believe that. You'll notice that this bush burned in the backside of the desert. And I have no doubt that there were many other bushes in that desert place. But the Lord chose to appear unto Moses in this bush. Isn't that what it says? The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. It was one of many bushes. But the Lord appeared unto this, or appeared in this bush. And if this bush speaks to us of the church, you see here, and we're reminded again that God, according to His sovereignty and the purpose of His divine will, has brought together a chosen people, a people that He chose from the beginning of time, even before the beginning of time, before the hills in order stood, her earth received her frame. God chose for himself a people, and he chose to appear not only unto that people, but he has revealed himself to that people. And today God is in us, his chosen people. 1 John 4, verse 12. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. God dwelleth in us. Just as he dwelt in the burning bush, and the bush is the type of the church, so God dwells in his church. He dwells in his chosen people. And we rejoice that we are the chosen people of God. Notice something else. It says in verse 2, and the angel of the Lord, remember the angel of the Lord is Christ, appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Look at verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And so emphasis here is placed upon the fact that the angel of the Lord was where? Was in the midst of the bush. And when the Lord spoke, he spoke out of the midst of the bush. Remember, the church is pictured here by this burning bush. That's where the angel of the Lord ought always to be. As far as the church is concerned, Christ must always be in the midst. He must be the center of attraction. For when we go up to the house of God on the Lord's day, we go up to see Jesus Christ. I often have we quoted those words because we love them so much. The words of the Greeks to the disciples, when they went up to Jerusalem, they came and said to the disciples, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Oh, they were going up to the Passover, and there was the ceremony, and there was the killing of the lamb, and there was the shedding of the blood, and there was the worship service, and there was the remembrance of that night in Egypt. But lo and behold, the Greeks went up and they said, "We would see Jesus." They wanted to see Christ. The Passover, of course, pointed to Christ. And it was Christ they wanted to see. And may that always be our prayer. Before we come to the house of God on the Lord's day in our own homes, let us pray, "Lord, let us see thy Son today. Let me see Jesus today." We'll be blessed. We'll be satisfied. We go away from God's house having seen Christ. He must always be in the midst. In the midst of our preaching and in our praying and in our praise, must be Jesus only. But we said that not only did the angel of the Lord appear in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, but the Lord also spoke out of the midst of the bush. And so the spoken word was heard out of the midst of the bush. And so this speaks to us that not only in the church of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ himself to be in the midst, but his word is to be central as well. That's why this pulpit is in the center of this church. churches today, and if you were to go into them, you would see the pulpit has been shifted over to the side. Maybe there's no pulpit at all. They have to clear the front for all their activities. But the pulpit must always be in the midst, because the Word of God must be central in our worship. Must be. That's why we go to the house of God. What for? Yes, to meet with the Lord Jesus and to hear His Word. If we don't have God's Word, if the Word of God is not preached to us, if the Word of God is not studied, if the Word of God is not meditated upon, then we'll soon become very weak and sickly. We need the Word in order that we might grow spiritually. That's why the Word must always be central. Even as it was that day, Moses came face to face with the burning bush. Saw the Lord in the midst of the bush, and he heard the Word coming out of the midst of the bush. And then we notice also the preservation of this bush. And the bush was not consumed. Here is a great mystery. And all the modern day theologians, so called, and all the modernists and ecumenists, and all the deniers of the truth have tried to explain this away. How was it possible that a bush could there be growing in the desert and be burning with fire and yet not be consumed? Why, it's ridiculous, some of the ideas that people have come up with. And they're trying to explain it away. Don't need to explain it away. The explanation is there. The bush burned and was not consumed. That's all we need to know. Then we say, why was it not consumed? If the bush is a picture of Jesus Christ and His church, we look at the church today and we could say, well, why is the church of Jesus Christ, why is it not being consumed today? The Bible tells us, Hebrews 12, verse 29, our God is a consuming fire. God was in the midst of the bush, and the bush was not consumed. We have just noted in 1 John that God dwells within us, His chosen people that go to make up the church. Why are we not consumed? It's an interesting to note that the word bush that we have here in Exodus 3, if the word was literally translated, it would read thorny bush. What do the thorns in Scripture speak to us of? Speak to us of the curse. Genesis 3 speaks to us of Calvary. Because while the Lord Jesus stood in the judgment hall of Pilate, the soldiers stood to the side, plaiting a crown of thorns. And they placed the crown of thorns upon the Savior's head. The crown of thorns speaks to us of the curse. The Lord Jesus was led out and nailed to a cross, and cursed as everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why are we not consumed? Because of Jesus Christ. That's why. If God is a consuming fire and He dwells in us, why are we not consumed? Because of Christ.
because of him. Because the fire has fallen on him. Because it has fallen on Christ, it will never fall on us. The church today, hallelujah, is burning, but is not consumed. The motto of Presbyterianism, ardens sed verens, burning, but not consumed. That leads us to consider the attraction of the bush. Moses was attracted to this bush, for he said in verse 3, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why? The bush is not burnt. My nanny today could come and say, why? Why is the church of Jesus Christ, why is it not being consumed? Why is it still going on? Why is it still growing? Why is it still alive? God is in the midst of her. God will bless his people. God will keep his people. God will keep his church. Have no fear. Notice the bush and its burning. Moses described what he saw as a great sight. It was a great sight, and it's a great sight today to see the Church of Jesus Christ still on fire and on fire for God. You look through the epistles of Paul and the churches that he wrote to, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Philippi, and my, they were burning churches. They were churches that were doing something for God. There was warmth in those churches. The fire was burning in those churches. You remember on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, when the Holy Ghost came, symbolized by the fire. And you read about that church in Acts 2. That church was on fire. Through the witness of that church in Jerusalem, 3,000 souls were added to it. God's people were in blessing. There was a love for one another. There was a love for the Lord and His Word. The church was on fire. That's what makes a church attractive, a local assembly attractive. And that church is on fire. Remember, it was the burning of the bush that attracted Moses, caused him to turn aside. And oh, dear believer, may our local assembly be a church that's on fire. Because that's what will attract people. It'll cause them to turn aside from the things of the world. Cause them to turn aside to that church where Christ is in the midst and His Word is in the midst. Notice also the bush and its brightness. The very fact that this bush burned, it was that turned Moses aside from those things that were going on around him. He was attracted to this bush. He saw the flame, and there it was burning. No other bush in all the wilderness was burning like this bush. No other bush radiated the brightness that was seen in this bush. That's what made it stand out. That's what made it different. And the Church of Jesus Christ is different. Oh, there are many churches in this world today, but the Church of Jesus Christ is what stands out from all the rest. this church, this local assembly, be a church that stands out. Because if we don't have the fire of God, we'll just become like all the others. We'll just be like all the rest. All the other dead churches that we find by their thousands in this land. Remember what Samson said to Delilah? If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when that was done, we read in Judges 16, verse 20, he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. If we don't burn with the fire of God, we'll just be like all the other churches in this world. We'll have no power and no strength, and the glory will have departed. Oh, may God save us from it. Then you notice the bush and its boundary. We read in verses 4 and 5, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, that Moses turned aside to see this great sight, he said, draw not nigh hither. Notice the words. Moses turned aside to see this great sight. Why? The bush was not burnt. Moses was looking at the wrong thing. Moses wanted to know about the bush, but the Lord wanted Moses to know about him. Moses had his eyes on the bush. He needed to have his eyes on the Lord. And isn't that the way it is today with many? They have their eyes on the church, but not on the Christ. And we ought to have our eyes on notice also that it was an arresting bush. It arrested Moses. The sight of this bush burning there in the backside of the desert arrested Moses, for he said, I will now turn aside. And the sight of the bush burning caused Moses to turn aside from what he was doing. And what did it then do? It brought him face to face with God. And believer, that's the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. The ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ involves turning men aside, turning them from earthly things and those things that usually and normally occupy their minds, and turning them, bringing them face to face. You know, believer, that's the business of the church. The business of this church here in Port Hope. The business of this church is to bring men and women face to face with God and with the issues of eternity. That's what it's about. That's what our service should involve. Telling men and women about Christ, bringing them face to face with those issues pertaining to eternity. Because I tell you, if we don't do it, who else will? Church is not to be an entertainment center. Church is to be a preaching house. church is to be a place where men and women are told about heaven and warned about hell. That's our business. Bring people face to face with God. And there you have the confrontation. The church is not, as we've said, a social center, but a place where through the preaching of the word, souls of men are wed in the balances. And when they're found wanting, shown the answer. Found in Jesus Christ. Then you have the communion. Which was not only the place of confrontation, it was also the place of communion for Moses. As Moses drew nigh to the bush, God told him, the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Or perhaps Moses passed by that bush before as he looked after the flock of Jethro. It wasn't holy ground then. Why was it holy ground now? Holy ground now because God was there. This house is holy ground because God is here. Apart from the Lord, apart from His presence, it's just like any other building. It's God that makes it holy ground. And that's why when we come into God's presence, we ought to remember the words of Psalm 89, verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. We always want the church, this house here, this place here, even as it was last night, to be a place of communion. A place where we can commune with God and with God's people. Place of communion. That's where Moses communed with God that day, in the backside of the desert. It doesn't matter where God calls us, where He has us to serve Him, if God's there, then 'tis heaven there. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Moses had a little bit of heaven that day. Finally, you have the commission. Because it was from this meeting with God at the bush that Moses was commissioned to go and bring the children of Israel out of the house of bondage. It was that day that God met with Moses at the backside of the desert and spoke to him out of the burning bush. Moses was commissioned, go, meet with Pharaoh, and lead my people. We do rejoice with those churches out of which God has been pleased to commission and send young men and young women to go out with the gospel message, to preach the gospel, to go to mission fields, to tell others about Jesus, the mighty deceiver. Oh, may what the burning bush in the backside of the desert portrays may be seen here in this church and portal. May we be a burning bush. May Christ always be in our midst, and may the Word of God always have central place in this heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear loving Father and our gracious God, we do pray that what we have seen in the scriptures this morning regarding the bush, Lord, may it be seen here in this very house, in this local assembly. And oh, gracious Father, we pray that indeed we'll be on fire for the Lord. Take away the hardness and the coldness from our hearts. And oh, gracious God, may our hearts burn within us. As each Sabbath day we come to this house and the Lord Himself draws near and goes with us. Lord, undertake for us now as we leave the house of God. Give us traveling mercy. Lord, be with us every mile of the journey. Dear loving Father, bless all who will travel greater distances today. Gracious Father, be with them and guide them and keep them safe. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.